building a deck, you have a choice. Redwood decks begin life as indigenous plants. Plastic decks begin life in industrial plants. Redwood decks come in rich, natural colors. Plastic decks come in dioxide colorants. Redwood decks will last a long time. Plastic decks will last forever in a landfill. Real, strong redwood.
Visit GetRedwood.com.
How much is that jug in the window? The one with the wagony chair.
This is the vacation edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. Frank and Ian and Dan are away with 90 of our listeners in Cancun, Mexico for the annual journey south. Frank will be back in here on Monday with the boys. In the meantime, I get to play while they are away. I am Paul Harris. Kyle and Tim are here with me. And this time every week, it's time to have our Ask the Vet segment with Dr. Doug Pernikoff of the Clarkson Wilson Veterinary Clinic. Dr. Doug, how are you today?
Good. How are you all doing?
Hi,
good.
Dr. Doug.
Great.
I am AM in the PM.
Thank you very much.
What's going on there? We're the only ones that don't get to go travel. That's not fair.
No, we don't. And I'm going to just say right now, the phone lines are open for people who have questions. Dogs, cats, any pets that you have. Dr. Doug is here to take your calls and help you out. 314-969-KTRS, 888-550-KTRS. Before we get into other stuff, I'm curious. You know, we talk about Frank and Ian and Dan and 90 of our listeners going away on this vacation. Is it a good idea to take your pet with you if you're going to someplace like Cancun or someplace warm in the winter?
Well, it's a good point. We have, I've actually written a number of articles about this regarding traveling with your pet. And yeah, anything's possible. It depends on the scenario. You know, you have to do a lot of things, homework ahead of time. You have to make sure, number one, that you can find the right plane that's going to support that travel. You need to get your health certificates together. If you're going out of the country, you're going to need international health certificates. You'll make sure the vaccines are up to date, so you have a veterinary review. And then you want to make sure that on the other end of the game, you've got some place that's going to allow you to keep your pet. But, yeah, a lot of people do this all the time. We get, in fact, we get international health certificate requests for people that are moving temporarily or they're going for the summer to stay in Europe or something like that. So it does happen.
So you could run into a situation if you don't get the paperwork right. You show up there and the other countries say...
It ain't going to happen. Yeah, they're not going to let you. They're not going to let you pass. So you need to do your homework. Talk to your veterinarian. They can help guide you through that process. But you ought to give yourself easily a good month of time ahead of time just to make sure you know what you're doing. Even going from state to state, if you're going by airplane, obviously you have to go through the same steps. Not quite as difficult. And if you're going to drive through, shouldn't be a big deal. Technically, certain states require that you still have a health certificate, but that's not critical.
Really? If you were to drive from here to Florida, at the other end, somebody in Tallahassee is going to show up and say, "Show me your certificate."
Well, that's the point. They're not going to. Typically, they're not going to be aware.
Yeah.
You're not being sneaky. It's just not, you know, you don't report it. Nobody does. But by law, they could require every state that you went through. Theoretically, could demand that you demonstrate a health certificate, but again, nobody's ever done that. You
know, right.
You don't do that. Now, if you have exotics like primates and stuff, those are really much more tightly controlled moving from state to state.
All right, before we get to the phone calls, any other stuff we have to touch on?
Just again, with the frost and the winter, we just want to make sure that people continue to stay on guard. This is a situation where I know we're getting a little bit warmer weather coming, but animals are in such jeopardy if they're not being watched, if they're outside too long, if they're left outside without access to a water source, doesn't freeze up. You know, whatever it is, you need to be logical and protect your animal. Even if you keep them in the garage, you want to make sure chemicals aren't around, fertilizers, all those kind of things that could be a problem. And understand that as long as they don't have direct wind and rain, they're probably going to be pretty reasonably okay. But it's a good idea to get kinds of bedding or insulation that's going to give them some comfort.
All right. Let's go to the phones, 314-969-KTRS, 888-550-KTRS. And we'll start with you, Samantha. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm AM in the PM.
Thank you very much.
Hi,
how
Samantha.
Are you, Samantha? Hello.
Go ahead, Samantha.
Okay, so my question is, I am fostering a male 1-year-old Weimaraner GSP mix.
Okay.
I have not had a male dog before, and I don't know much about him. I've only had him for about a week and a half.
Is he neutered?
He is not. He is intact.
Oh, okay. Well, do you have particular questions or concerns?
Pardon?
Any particular questions or concerns?
Yes, I'm finding puddles of pee around the house, and I don't know if he is spraying. What determines whether he's spraying to mark his territory or if he's having accidents in the house?
Well, you know, it's hard to know, but if he's rooting around and smelling everything and like he's an interested male because he's not neutered, that's pretty normal for a male to go to a new territory, and he may pick up things that you and I don't know exist there. I don't know if there have been other animals there historically, and he's going to spray. In fact, when you breed dogs, typically, if you own the female and someone else owns the male, they always tell you to bring the female to the male's place so he doesn't spend half his life trying to figure out where his territories are. So I think that's probably a new setting. It's unusual, and he's a male that's intact. I think it's probably that reasoning that why he's doing all the accidents. You know, if you are really concerned you're going to have him for a while, take him to the vet and let him check your analysis and make sure he doesn't have an infection. But I bet it's behavioral.
I would imagine. He's not doing it like on the floor in front of us. We happen to find a pile of clothes that might have
I think he's doing it intentionally just because he's trying to explore and mark territory.
All right, Samantha.
Gotcha. All right. Thank you very much.
Bye, honey.
Thank you very much for calling. 314-969-KTRS, 1-888-550-KTRS. We do have a couple of lines open, but let's go now to Tish. Welcome to the Big 550.
Hi. How are you guys?
Good. Thank you.
Good. How are you, Tish?
Good.
What can I do for you?
Being on the air.
Yeah.
Hey, this is an odd question. I know people have important calls here, and I know this is just kind of random, but I'm looking for a breed of dog that does not tend to bark a lot. Do you have any ideas?
You said what? What kind of it was a dog you're looking for?
Doesn't bark a lot.
Well, you know, it's hard to know because it's not necessarily a breed specific characteristic. So you need to go search out some dogs available on one of the rescue lines, or to call up some places around town, and then just ask them, go visit the dogs, get a sense of what they're doing. If you're in a setting like a humane society or some kind of shelter, there's a lot of activity, a lot of stimulation. That's when you might see whether a dog is more passive or more active and barking and stuff like that. It might actually take, bringing them home and trying them out. There's always that honeymoon period when they're
right.
in a new home and they act one way, and then about 2 or 3 weeks they get comfortable suddenly acting another way. But in my experience, almost any rescue organization will allow you to bring an animal back to their program if it doesn't work out.
Doug, are there breeds of dog that just tend to bark less than others?
You know, that's what I was saying. I can't generalize. I just don't think you can generalize. I don't feel like that's, for me at least, I couldn't state that.
Well, right. could I ask you something? Is it true that huskies they have to learn to bark?
They kind of cry. They kind of do a crying sound. And if you think about it more, you mentioned these different breeds. I've seen a lot of huskies, and I don't see them as real big barking dogs. But I don't know.
All right, okay. Tish. I hope that answers your question.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate it. Have a good day.
Yeah, how old are you, Tish?
Thank you.
She doesn't want to play along.
I don't want to play. Frank.
By the way, if you're looking for an animal that whines and cries a lot, I might suggest Dan Strauss. I can say that because he's not here. Derek, you're on the Big 550. Hello.
Hello. Yes, sir. I got a question. I got a 14-year-old lab. He's on his last few days, I think. He's on 6 Tramadol a day. He licks himself till he's raw, so he's wearing the cone of shame 24 hours a day.
Uh-huh.
And our vet refuses to help put him down. He just keeps wanting to pump him full of different kind of drugs.
He what? I couldn't hear the last thing.
He said that the vet that they have won't help put him down. He just keeps pumping him full of drugs.
Well, I haven't seen the animal, so I certainly can't assess it. But, we try to keep I think all vets try and keep the animals alive and healthy. If there's an animal that is desperately suffering and there's nothing that seems to be working and he's that old, then it's a process. You discuss it and you make a decision together, and it's still ultimately your decision. If you want that service done, you know, there are vets, including myself, if there's something that doesn't look right and we don't feel like there's good justification, we might encourage you to do one thing or the other, but it's still your property, so ultimately you have the decision.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Derek, thank you for calling. Hannah, you're on the Big 550. Say hi to Dr. Doug.
Hi, Dr. Doug. How are you today?
Good, Hannah. And you?
I'm well. I wanted to compliment you on, there was a connection that I was in your veterinarian clinic with a friend of mine, and I was looking for a dog sitter, and Paul Slotron from Creature Comforts.
Sure.
Supposedly a very good friend of yours.
Yes.
I have been looking 5 years for a person to watch my animals. He is the best, and I just personally wanted to thank you.
Yeah, he's a good man.
Connection.
Good
but Paul's
man,
the best.
Sure. And that's important because obviously people have that alternative to put them in a kennel, take them with you, put them into a veterinary clinic, and if you can find someone that'll come to your home, that's one alternative that works for some people very well, and you always obviously want somebody who's going to be responsible and do the right thing. And I think he's even bonded, which is nice. But
well, he's everything. I mean, this is his business, Creature Comforts,
right,
and
right.
I mean, he stays at the house. The house is spotless when he... You know, it's clean when he gets it, but he doesn't
sure.
clean the house. But, I mean, the guy is amazing. Brings in the mail, turns the lights on and off, takes the dogs for walks. And yeah. I was afraid because I have a 110-pound German Shepherd. And
oh, wow.
The minute he sees Paul, it's like, oh, my God, life's over. And then I have a little palm, but
He said nice things about you, too. He said you were a wonderful person. The dog was great. The house was a little messy. But I wasn't going to
It was like that before I gave it to him.
Hannah,
good
glad.
Luck. Thanks for calling in.
I'm glad you called, Hannah. Thank you. Here's Larry on the Big 550. Say hello to Dr. Doug.
Good afternoon, Dr. Doug. How are you, sir?
Good, Larry. And you?
I'm doing well. I was just calling about the lady that just called. She was talking about a dog that doesn't bark very much. I have a Rhodesian Ridgeback, and he is not a nuisance barker, and he sheds very little. And the only time he barks, when he barks, you better go look and see what he's barking at. He's just really not a nuisance barker, and they're known for not barking very much.
And beautiful dogs, too. I just think they're
Thank
gorgeous.
You. He is. He's a
Big
great
dogs,
dog. He's a cool dog. So I just want to let that lady know.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Larry. Here's Mary on the Big 550. Say hello to Dr. Doug.
Hi, Dr. Doug.
Hi, Mary. How are you, honey?
Hi, I'm fine. I was wondering about Tish or Trish, who called in. I always thought that Basenjis don't bark. Is that true?
You know, I haven't raised one and kept one. When I see them in the clinic, you know, I don't see that behavior. So if you know that might be true, and I can certainly search it out.
I had an encyclopedia of dogs when I was a kid, and I remember it said, finally, a barkless dog.
Yeah, I don't know if there is such a thing as a barkless dog, but maybe barkless less than the others.
Grumble, but no barking.
Yeah, that's great. Well, thank you for your information.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Mary.
Okay.
Doug, do you have days where you're in your office and you just think, stop it already?
You know, it's really interesting. There are, you'll get it. It's like being, I don't know if you've ever done this, you're sitting in a restaurant, maybe you're trying to read or study at night or whatever, and it's the same thing. You might get a voice that just works on you. And it's the same thing here. We have dogs barking every day, all day. But every once in a while, you get a cur that really drives you nuts.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, not too often.
All right. Back to the phones.
Hey, hey, Dr. Doug.
Yes.
Tish called back and said she didn't hear your question. She's 52.
Oh, my favorite age.
There you go. I think I screwed up something on line one there, Tim. I'll ask you to get that while I pick
okay.
up Mike. Mike, say hello to Dr. Doug.
Hey, Dr. Doug. How you doing?
Good.
Good, Mike. And you?
Hey, I kind of wanted to comment on the lady about the barking dog.
We've hit on the topic of the day.
I've got a basset hound that when we let outside, literally faces east, barks, faces south, barks, and faces west and barks. Almost like he's announcing that he's outside.
That's kind of funny.
Really,
I haven't seen that, but yeah,
this is a
pretty good
hound bark. It's a low howl that's
right.
really loud.
No, I know. They can be a very, very loud barking dog.
Yeah, and I didn't realize that when I got him as a puppy. But
uh-huh.
I recommended that we get a bark collar, which I guess shocks him. But then my wife said that that's probably going to scare him to go outside.
You know,
it can work
if it's done correctly and if it's supervised correctly. And I would say if you're going to get a bark collar, make sure you do that under the supervision of a trainer, a dog trainer, who knows how to apply that. And if you do it correctly, you shouldn't have to do it very long. It might only be a few episodes that they learn that. So, again, do it under supervision, and I think you can be okay.
All right, Mike, thanks for calling.
Okay. Thank you.
Here is Shannon on the Big 550. Say hi to Dr. Doug.
Hi, Dr. Doug.
Hi, Shannon. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I've been a dog lover in person all my life, and we've had a cat, and we just had to put him down. And I guess he had a tumor in his bladder.
Okay.
And apparently it was like 360. Mm-hmm. So I guess I want confirmation. I mean, there wasn't much else we could do. I mean, he was like...
Yeah, how old was the cat?
He was almost 14.
Yeah, I mean, bladder tumors in all mammalian species, including humans, are really bad. They usually lie right at if you think of a picture of... It looks like a balloon, basically, and as you come to the spout, which is the emptying port, that's where those tumors like to grow. And without seeing the x-rays and the ultrasound and all that kind of stuff, it's hard to know what your options might have been, you know. So, but a 14-year-old cat, you know, whatever you get, that's statistically an excellent long life. We see cats live up to 20, 21 years sometimes, but it's not very common. But I'm guessing that your veterinarian guided you correctly. And
he did. I guess it was one of those things he'd go in the litter box and try to go, and then he'd come back in 2 minutes. He just couldn't pee anymore.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Because as I said, that tumor tends to lie right at the port leaving the bladder.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty common issue.
Okay, Shannon.
All right. I'm glad you called.
For your loss.
Thank you.
Yeah, let me get one more call in here for Dr. Doug, and that's you, Scott. Welcome to the Big 550.
Okay, Paul, I'll take, have you been paying attention?
Now, we'll do that on Friday.
Okay. Now, I also wanted to add, Tim had talked about northern breeds not barking, and we have a purebred Siberian and a Siberian Akita mix, and we've had Malamutes. They don't bark. They do howl. And
they kind of cry, don't they? Kind of.
Oh, they ooh.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you get them all going at once, oh, the neighbors will call. So,
yeah.
But they do shed horribly.
Right.
And well, it's just part of the breed. And I don't mean to steal your thunder again, Dr. Doug. But as far as someone having a dog that they've led a full, complete life, our veterinarian will actually come out to our house when it's that time. The last thing we want the dogs to remember is some cold steel table and a tile floor. And so the one thing about veterinarians and doctors, my final thing before we close the segment is, if your veterinarian does not tell you something you want to hear, it's real simple. Find another doctor.
There you go.
Yeah, and a lot of vets do go to the home for special, you know, it's not always, but if you can, we try and do it. It's not always available.
Scott, I'm glad you called. Thank you. Doug, before I let you go, I have to just mention, a couple of days ago, I was talking to a woman who has four pet chickens in a coop in her backyard.
Uh-huh.
And I asked her, so that means you get fresh eggs 12 months of the year? And she said, no, we don't, because it's winter and the chickens are molting.
Yes, when they molt, sometimes depending on the breed and the species, not only chickens but other birds, the molting process is kind of designed to shed out damaged feathers and stuff, and their metabolism and all their energy is kind of directed towards that, because it is a very energy-wasting process. And Mother Nature created, for instance, in birds, apparently like a hawk, if they lost and molted all their feathers in one episode, they wouldn't be able to fly and hunt. So what Mother Nature did was create a cycle. And one after the other, there's a consecutive loss of feather patterns, and every species is a little different. It's very interesting.
So what do they go through, about 4 or 5 months of that, and then they...
Depends on the breed and the species. Like I said, more tropical, it seems like they spread it out over months and months. And that makes sense if you think about it. So
yeah,
it's interesting, really interesting.
We're having an eggless winter, kids. Sorry. Well, Doug, I always enjoy talking to you and taking these calls, and we'll do it again next Wednesday when I'm filling in for Frank again.
Okay, have a wonderful, wonderful week.
Thank you, too. Bye-bye. Dr. Doug Pernikoff is located at the Clarkson-Wilson Veterinary Clinic. You can find more about him and maybe bring your pet in to see him by going to the website, clarksonwilsonvet.com. This is the Big 550 KTRS.
Meep, meep.
Let's check the roads now, Tim.
All right, it looks like on westbound 70, right at the 79 exit, you have an accident. It's on the right shoulder, but you are getting slow traffic as you go through the area. Eastbound 40 downtown now is slowing Jefferson to the Poplar Street Bridge. Eastbound 270, a little bit east of McDonald through 170, some stop and go there. And on westbound 40, looks like we're heavier now between 141 and Clarkson. And this traffic report brought to you by Subway, introducing the new Simple Six menu at Subway. It starts with six of their best 6-inch sandwiches, now in made just for you meals for just $6 each. All day, every day, Subway, eat fresh. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
The $100,000 Big Draw is back. Earn cards the first four Fridays in January. Then join Argosy Casino Alton for drawings every Sunday. You could win up to $100,000 cash.
Buying a home and finding a real estate agent is probably the most important thing you will do. Kathy Helbig of the Kathy Helbig Group, what should people look for in a real estate agent?
Number one, you should find a top-producing full-time agent. Did you know 20% of the agents sell about 80% of the houses in the St. Louis area? So the average agent sells less than 8 houses a year. Kathy Helbig Group sells over 100 houses a year.
You're not a typical real estate agent. You have a full group and a full team.
Exactly. It's a real estate business, so we have to be proficient at marketing, exposure, pricing, knowing our inventory, knowing the competition, and how to negotiate offers.
Kathy, if a buyer or a seller calls you today, what can you offer them?
A professional home designer on our staff will come in and give them an evaluation of their style and staging of their home prior to going on the market.
That's 17-year full-time producer, realtor, Kathy Helbig of the Kathy Helbig Group. She's a real estate expert, and she's on KSDK Channel 5, and she's here with us on the Big 550 KTRS. KathyHelbigGroup.com, 314-726-SOLD, or KathyHelbigGroup.com.
Cheap and fast may work for a quick lunch or a haircut, but what it doesn't work for is floor covering. Listen to that voice that's telling you that what sounds too good to be true is a mistake. Instead, when it's time for new flooring, do it right the first time. Call a member of the Flooring Industry Council, whose install floor layers have 4 years of classroom and hands-on training in all types of flooring materials, backed by companies with decades in the business and extensive experience working for St. Louis's leading businesses and homeowners. Cheap and fast may be okay for a cup of coffee and a donut, but it doesn't work for floor covering. For a list of contractors who will leave you with the assurance that you made the right decision, contact the Flooring Industry Council. Call 314-968-3522 or visit ficstl.org. Again, that's 314-968-3522 or ficstl.org.
If you use a CPAP device for sleep apnea and you do all your sleeping at home, this message is not for you. However, if you like to travel for business or pleasure, you're going to want to hear about Transcend, the world's first portable mini CPAP device. It lets you sleep in total comfort anywhere. And free information is available now by calling minicpap.com at 1-800-600-7175. Transcend is as small as a soda can and weighs less than a pound. For even more freedom, you can add a battery that's as tiny as a deck of cards. Transcend is so small you can fit it in your briefcase or purse to use anywhere you go. It's FAA compliant too, so you can even sleep comfortably while flying. This is our smallest, lightest, and most portable mini CPAP design ever. So if you travel, get the freedom to sleep anywhere you go. Call now for life-changing free information from minicpap.com. 1-800-600-7175. That's 1-800-600-7175.
Hey, Linda. Have you been working out?
I've been shopping at Rite Aid.
Huh?
Yeah, it's Happy You Year at Rite Aid. You can earn all these great rewards just by shopping. I got dance fitness sessions.
Rewards. For shopping. Happy Me Year.
It's Happy You Year at Rite Aid. Earn rewards from bowling to exercise classes to vacations for every $50 you spend on participating products with your Wellness Plus card. Now through January 24th. Certain restrictions apply. Value and types of rewards will vary. See RiteAid.com/YouYear for details.
I know it's the dead of winter, but it's never too early to start thinking about your lawn. Fire that lawn service and hire yourself and go to DynaGreen to get all of your fertilizer. DynaGreen and DynaGreenInfo.com, your local lawn and garden dealer, will help you every step of the way. An easy five-step program to make your lawn the greenest and the best on the block. DynaGreen, created by St. Louisans for the region. DynaGreen or DynaGreenInfo.com.
To reach their greatest potential on the field or on the court, Mizzou athletes need to be fueled
by the right nutrition. And the same goes for the athlete within your dog. Whether striving to run that extra mile or learning to catch that flying disc, Purina Pro Plan offers fine-tuned, advanced nutrition to help your dog perform at his absolute best. Find Pro Plan today at a pet specialty retailer near you. Purina Pro Plan, nutrition that performs.
No, no esposa. No, luego, sí. A la noche, sí.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm in Mexico, and I was just lining up my evening with a little señorita there. She just was asking me if I was married, and I said, no, of course not. Wish you were here. I think that's what I'm supposed to say. We're taking a little break, and they have Chevrolets in Mexico. In fact, they have a couple of Chevrolets. Their model names are names you don't see in the United States. Of course, we have lots of Chevrolets and lots of places to buy them. I apologize for a little scratchy throat. That came along just before I was ready to leave. But I have enough voice left to tell you this, that while we're gone, I'd like to see sales. I'd like to see them not slip. I'd like to see them actually increase. And that way, Johnny would say, you know, it seems that when you go to Mexico and you record the commercials, business is even better. And he then would encourage us to probably take three or four trips a year like this. Only you can make that happen. So all of you listening this week who are seriously considering buying a new Chevy, and maybe you were going to do it two or three weeks from now, do it this week and let's see some numbers that go through the roof, and he's going to beg us, and he'll go to management, and he'll insist that we take three or four of these. Let's make that happen. What do you say? You won't be sorry. Because you're going to love the experience, and you're probably going to buy your next vehicle after that from, that's right, Johnny Landoff Chevrolet. Buy a Chevy anywhere, but you only get the Landoff love at Johnny Landoff Chevrolet. The Washington Elizabeth exit off 270 or Landoff.com.
The vacation edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris filling in for Frank. Ian and Dan are gone as well, so Kyle is filling in for Ian, and Tim is here filling in for Dan. And in about a half hour or so, about a quarter after five, I'm going to be talking to a guy by the name of John Wilson. Is that his name, the Razzies guy?
I have to look it up. I know Wilson's his last name.
Yeah, he's the guy behind the Razzie Awards, which are the awards for the worst in cinema. Yeah, it is John Wilson. So he'll be on at 5:15, and we'll talk about the worst movies and worst performances by actors and actresses.
Is that pretty much anything with Adam Sandler in it these days?
I think Adam Sandler is probably a Lifetime Achievement winner of the Razzies. I don't know. I'll ask him. Now, I have a couple of things from the What's Going On in School file that I've got to mention here. And the first one is a story out of Valley, Alabama. This is an actual letter that was sent home to parents of the W.F. Burns Middle School by Principal Priscilla Holly and Assistant Principal Donna Bell. Ladies and gentlemen, I swear to you, I'm not making this up. Dated January 9th, just a few days ago. Dear parents and guardians, we are dedicated to educating and keeping our children safe at school. As a result of school shootings throughout the United States and discussing with law enforcement the best procedure to follow to keep our students safe, we are enhancing our procedure for intruders. Now, I will tell you, as a father, that gets my attention right there.
Right.
I want to know, what is the school doing to keep my daughter safe?
Absolutely.
She's not in middle school anymore. She's in college. But still, when she was, that, you know, that's an important thing. Okay. Paragraph 2, the procedure will be the same as we've done in the past with the addition of arming our students with a canned food item. I'm sorry, what? What was that? Let's go back. Let's reread. Let's recap. Let's regroup. Paragraph 2 begins, the procedure will be the same as we've done in the past with the addition of our arming our students with a canned food item.
So if they have to go get barricaded in a room for a long amount of time, they don't get hungry?
You're getting ahead of me here. Let's see what the principal has to say to explain this.
I thought that was no way in truth.
We're not done. No, there's the rest of the
paragraph
to go.
It's a long way to go here.
Yes, there's a couple more sentences. Raise your hand before you
I'm
speak.
Sorry. I never thought that would actually be right.
Somebody's going to be staying after the show.
Okay, Mr. Helper.
Tim, that's going on your permanent record.
Right, okay.
By the way, how'd that permanent record thing ever work out? I'm a middle-aged man. If I apply for a job, you know, Mr. Harris, we see you in third grade.
Yeah, really.
All right. Back to the memo here about arming our students with a canned food item, period. We realize at first this may seem odd. Well, there's the understatement of the memo right there.
Right.
However, and there's always a however in life, it is a practice that would catch an intruder off guard. The canned food item could stun the intruder or even knock him out until the police arrive. The canned food item will give the students a sense of empowerment to protect themselves and will make them feel secure in case an intruder enters their classroom. Paragraph 3. We are asking each student to bring an 8-ounce canned food item, corn, beans, peas, etc., to use in case an intruder enters the classroom. We hope the canned food items will never be used or needed, but it's best to be prepared. At the end of the school year, the cans will be donated to the food closet. That's a food pantry organization there. So just to once again recap and regroup here, when you send your kids off to school, give them a can of peas, because when the madman comes in with the gun...
Yeah, there you go.
The green giant peas, or perhaps a nice compact super sweet Niblets can would do it. Don't even worry about it. You've got that can of beets in the back of the pantry that nobody's going to eat. Let the child use that as a weapon against an armed intruder.
Right.
Now, there's a precedence for cans being used as a weapon against an armed intruder. If you remember Crocodile Dundee, when he was in the streets of New York,
yes,
there was the mugging, and then he found the can of peas. And he launched it at that mugger, and he took him out. And
well,
if
it was in a movie starring Paul Hogan, then that's good enough for the protection of my daughter in middle school.
And that's Crocodile Dundee. These are crickets, you know, compared to that.
Well, I'm just saying there's a precedent in Hollywood movies on how this can be effective.
You have to stop watching so many Hollywood movies. Do you have children?
Not yet. Soon
okay.
enough.
Oh, that's right. How soon?
Probably a week or so.
Wow.
Yeah. Knocking on the door.
Perhaps maybe Crocodile Dundee isn't the role model you're going to want for your child.
I will say, now obviously this is...
For a child's first sentence at age
right.
3, Daddy, that's not a knife, this is a knife.
I wouldn't want to get 25 cans of peas thrown at me. That would be kind of annoying.
Well, here's the problem with this. How old are you in middle school? 10, 11, 12 years old maybe?
Yeah. I read it at a 14-year-old level.
What?
I read it at a 14-year-old level.
Okay, but it's how you throw that's the factor here. That's the important part.
Well, that, plus you keep saying, armed intruder.
Armed intruder.
Some guy's going to come in shooting. And, you know, I mean, the concept is, I understand the concept.
No, I don't understand the concept.
No, I mean, what he's laying out there, I get what he's saying.
How about get the kids to a protected place in the school where they're not even going to have to see or deal with the intruder or have to be our first line of defense
now, what about,
with a can of cream corn?
Yeah.
Now, what about when you're teaching middle school kids and you need to empower them and make them feel like they... This probably won't work, but if they think it might work, and when they hear these stories from other schools come out, and it makes them be able to sleep at night knowing they have a can of yams at their desk, is that a bad thing? Is it a terrible thing?
Yes, it's a stupid idea, and stupid ideas are always a terrible thing, particularly when you're teaching them to children.
I didn't know the canned yams were really going to raise our children to enjoy stupid ideas.
You know, if you work... in a convenience store in this country. I'm pretty sure this is true of Quick Trip. I know it's true of 7-Eleven stores. It's probably true of other convenience stores and a Mobile on the Run, etc. If somebody comes in there with a gun, you give them the money. If you're a bank teller and somebody comes in with a gun, you give them the money.
Okay.
If somebody were to be in that bank and be armed with canned yams and creamed corn, all you could possibly do is dent the can against the side of the guy's head. You're not going to take him out. He or she is going to be pissed off with a gun.
Well, first off, though, if someone comes into a bank, there's something they want, i.e. money, or in the store, they want the money. If someone is going into a school with a gun, they are there for one thing.
And this is not going to stop that.
I agree it probably won't stop that, but probably. You can try something. If I walked into this room and there were 20 people here with cans and I had a pistol, you're going to win with the 20 cans getting chucked at me
if you guys follow those cans.
Middle school kids obviously will not be able to do that.
Again, we're going to point out that you're assuming that everyone's going to be able to aim that can of food and hit this guy in the head and knock him unconscious, right? Isn't that what the picture is supposed to be?
No, you don't have to knock someone unconscious to mess up the game plan. It's like whenever you got in a fight in grade school, did you ever hear the expression, nothing screws up your game plan like getting punched in the face? Something out of the ordinary that people aren't expecting can throw people off more than you think. Now, again, this, with middle schoolers, it's just not going to work. But if someone was going to attack me in a parking garage with a pistol and I had a couple cans of peas, I like my odds better.
Well, and here's
I'm going to take the bullets against the peas.
Here's the other thing. As soon as a guy comes in and starts shooting, your reaction isn't going to be get the can and throw. It's going to the human instinct is run and hide.
Yeah, get under the desk, run and hide. Protect the kids. Get them out of the line of fire.
Yeah.
Don't have them stand up there in the line of fire and try to fight back with niblets.
Ooh, you didn't say anything about niblets.
He's picking apart the kind of food we share.
I know. On the other hand, on our school file here today, we have this story from Elba, New York, where a group of fourth graders plan to kill their teacher with hand sanitizer. Three students, all girls, are accused of planning to put hand sanitizer on different items that the teacher would touch, knowing that that teacher is highly allergic to hand sanitizer. Now, let's just stop right there. I didn't know that you could be allergic to hand sanitizer. It's essentially just alcohol and water, and that's about it in there, right?
Yeah.
But I know there is hypoallergenic hand sanitizer, so some people might be allergic to it. Police say the students knew that this would hurt the teacher. Now, we're coming to the part of the story I really want to get to. Sheriff's deputies and other officials met with the children accused of the plot and their parents. At least one parent said the children knew the teacher could become very sick from contact with the hand sanitizer. One of the mothers said that after learning about the plan, she contacted the school. Another set of parents said they knew about it as well, but didn't tell anyone. And these are the parents I don't want to have in my circle of friends.
Right.
My daughter's not going to that house ever again.
Especially without a can of beans.
There he goes.
The parents who wouldn't tell anyone about their daughter's plot to kill a teacher. What, it's going to go on the permanent record?
Yeah, there you go. It's going on your file.
The sheriff's office closed the case because they say no crime was committed because the plot was never carried out, and so the students aren't facing any charges. As for the school district, they're taking over the investigation and using this incident as a, quote, vehicle for educating the district students regarding appropriate behaviors, unquote. Really? We're going to have a lecture about killing your teacher being a bad thing? Kids, we know that sometimes things are going to get out of control in an elementary school. When you can't multiply 3 times 4, you write down 11. The teacher gives you a red mark on your paper.
Wait, what's 3
times 4? Of course you want to kill them. We're going to have an assembly. I'm guessing this leads to an assembly where everybody gets together. What do you discuss in that assembly? How do you bring that up? I'd like to see the hands of all children who are considering murdering a teacher or any other human being. Jimmy, come on. I know you. Jenny, come on.
Stand up.
But they say it's important to know nobody was injured. Nobody was actually placed in harm's way. Although the teacher's got to be a little bit freaked out. He or she has got to be thinking, well, what's
going on here?
What exactly did I do to...
He's speechless.
I'm literally speechless at both of these stories. It's 4:52 at the Big 550 KTRS.
Meet me.
Tim, how are the roads?
Well, it does look like we do have much heavier traffic now on southbound 270. We'll call it Olive down through Doherty Ferry. Westbound 40 getting or 44 getting a bit heavy as you make your way from Mraz to Bowles. On eastbound 40 downtown Jefferson to the Poplar. Westbound 40 Kings Highway through McCausland. Looks like they still may be working with that accident off on the right shoulder on westbound 70 at Highway 79. And this report is brought to you by Subway. Introducing the new Simple 6 menu at Subway. It starts with six of their best 6-inch sandwiches, now in made-just-for-you meals for just $6 each, all day, every day. Subway, eat fresh. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
Hi, this is Jeff Lapidus, the retirement coach. If you want to make smart choices about your retirement planning, listen to my show, Straight Talk on Retirement, this Saturday at 10 a.m. here on the Big 550 KTRS.
The following free offer is available only to people with serious under-eye bags or sagging eyelids. Free supplies of a new instant eye lift serum called Beauty Glue are now being given away to everyone who calls this toll-free number, 1-800-400-5265. Be one of the first 100 callers, and they'll send you two free supplies. But supplies are limited, so please call for a free supply only if you have serious under-eye bags or sagging eyelids. Strict limit of two per household. This new instant eye de-wrinkler gives you all the visible benefits of an eye lift, instantly diminishing the appearance of under-eye bags, lifting sagging eyelids, and visibly erasing wrinkles for an instantly smooth, natural look. We'll even send you a free mirror so you can watch at work. But this free supply giveaway is only for people with serious under-eye bags or sagging eyelids. If that's you, be one of the first 100 callers right now. Hurry, call 1-800-400-5265. That's 1-800-400-5265. If lines are busy, try again. 1-800-400-5265.
Dentist office, may I help you?
Hi, I'd like to cancel my teeth whitening appointment.
May I ask why?
I found a teeth whitener that works in 5 minutes that I can do from home. It's called Power Swabs.
Hi, I'm John Greenhut. And if you want to whiten your teeth 2 shades in 5 minutes and 6 shades in 7 days, then try Power Swabs. Just swab your teeth and you're done. Try Power Swabs risk-free by calling 1-800-663-1502. That's 1-800-663-1502. 1-800-663-1502.
For your real estate needs, you need the K Bova Selling Team. Now powered by RE/MAX Properties West. Make your realty dreams a reality. Find the K Bova Selling Team at sellingstlewis.com. Introducing the new Simple 6 menu at Subway. It starts with six of their best 6-inch sandwiches. Now and made just few meals for just $6 each. Subway, eat fresh.
Hi, it's Frank. Sometimes I think that in the almost 24 years, I think it is, that American Equity has been part of the show. Sometimes I think that we just keep saying the same thing. But you know what? They really do a couple of things. They don't do everything. They're not in the appliance business. They're in the lending business. They loan you money. So hopefully what will happen is after you hear what sometimes maybe seems to be the same message over and over and over, it'll sink in. And then one day when you need a mortgage, you'll know who to call, American Equity Mortgage, and you'll know the number, 314-878-9999. Or maybe one day, let's say you're already a homeowner, and then one day you realize you need some money you don't have. You need to borrow money. And there are a lot of people who are more than happy to loan you money. You ever notice that? All these lending places and bring us your paycheck and your car title and whatever, forget that. A lot of places will loan you money, but the people who are usually quickest to do it are the ones who want to hold you up, rob you, want to charge you a hellacious interest. If you're a homeowner, you do not have to do that. You can borrow money the smart way at today's ridiculous low mortgage rates. American Equity will walk you through it. You'd be amazed at how easy it is. One of the great perks of being a homeowner. Talk to them. Ask them about bill consolidation loans and home equity loans. Here's their number. I happen to have it. 314-878-9999, American Equity Mortgage.
Live from downtown St. Louis, it's the Bill Cleveland segment, starring Bill Cleveland, along with the Bruce Limp Wrist Orchestra and the All-Boy Orchestra. And the All-Boy Orchestra. I got ahead of myself there. It's all brought to you by Laclede Cab, your AM and the PM cab company.
That's correct.
314-652-3456, or download their free app, STL Taxi.
Right.
And now, here's Bill Cleveland.
Oh, that's the most important part. You got Bill's name right.
Yeah.
Hi, Bill. How are you today?
You expect me to go on after that?
Yeah, you know.
Wait a second. Are you implying that if Dan Strauss were here, it would be perfect?
You know, well, you know what? Now that you mention it, yeah.
I'm trying to fill in accurately.
Yeah, I don't know if you can see the bar from where it is, where you're standing, but it's pretty low over here.
Hey, Dan's doing something right. He's on the beach somewhere in Mexico, and we're stuck here.
So. That's right.
Yeah, but did you see the picture of him kissing a skeleton?
What?
They're at some place, and there was a skeleton dressed as a woman, and he's kissing it.
Of course.
Makes perfect sense, quite honestly. Well, President Obama visited Cedar Falls, Ohio earlier today. Excuse me, Iowa today. Obama was pretty easy to spot. He was the only guy walking around Iowa in January with a golf club in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
Had I not screwed that up, that would have been pretty damn good, I think.
Well, again, low bar, Bill. Low bar.
I set the standard.
Ann Curry is leaving NBC News.
Yeah.
Yeah, when America.
Wait a
what
second.
The hell was that?
I thought that was the joke.
Hold on just a second, Bill.
Unbelievable.
Can everybody just pause for just a moment here? Because we're going but here's what we're going to do, Bill. We're going to get our team to edit all of the mistakes out. And when this actually airs on the radio show, no one will ever hear any of these mistakes. It'll all be perfect.
Because the show will only be 4 seconds long if you edit it.
So I heard something about Ann Curry. What was it?
She's leaving NBC News, and when most Americans heard the news today, they were like, Ann Curry is still at NBC News?
Yeah. That kicked off the Today Show a year ago.
Copy room, I guess.
Yeah.
Governor Chris Christie has given the New Jersey State of the State address.
Yep.
It was the first New Jersey State of the State speech delivered from Jerry Jones' luxury suite in Texas.
Right.
And most people had no idea, I don't think, that Chris Christie was such a huge Cowboys fan. In fact, one of the reasons Jerry Jones made the stadium's jumbotron so big was so that Christie's picture could fit right on it.
Oh, is that right?
And that's why. That's why they did that.
Yeah.
And finally, this afternoon.
I don't know why they're applauding.
According to a new study, an NFL franchise in London could pump $255 million a year into the British economy.
Hmm.
And that's just to the bail bondsmen. the crooks and thieves. And
wow. I was actually looking for a Rams reference there, but I'm not going to get it.
Well, take it easy on the Rams. The Bill Cleveland segment is brought to you this afternoon by Laclede Cab. Sure hope they sponsor tomorrow after this catastrophe.
Low bar, Bill. Low bar.
From